In this episode of the Wife Savers Podcast, Del and I will do a little reminiscing so we can give you a remedy or two for those exasperating days when you've got a sick man on your hands.
Bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you into sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Taking the good with the ups and downs.
Well, hey there, I'm Dale Zabriskie, sitting here with a good-looking and feeling good Ramona Zabriskie. But, you know, I'm a little cold in the nose here, I think, you know. I've been traveling a lot, and I haven't brought something home, and, you know, type thing.
That was a great segue into our topic today.
Runny nose.
Listen, listener, I never know what he's going to say right at the top. I never know what he's going to say, actually. So he does know what I want to talk about today. So that was pretty good. And, you know, just talking about it is kind of making my nose run.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why.
I have that effect on most women, so making their nose runs.
Well, this is season 3 officially.
Starting it off.
Yeah, we're cranking them out again here in 2024. I think maybe every other week or so we'll.
Okay, well, don't make any promises you can't keep there. Okay?
Well, all I know is I have so many questions that have been, what do you call it, queued up.
Right.
That I think I have about 28 questions to address in this season.
Not in this episode.
Not in this episode.
Okay, let's clarify that. Stay tuned.
I am going to bring up more than one question this episode, though. They all just happen to be kind of around the same topic. Should we just jump into it?
All about antihistamines.
Yeah, so. Well, I think I might need one. Okay. I've had 4 questions, and you will see as I articulate them how they are related.
Expose them. Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Right. Okay,
hit Number it. 1, what are your tips for taking care of a sick dude?
Really? Yeah. This is a continuing problem for somebody.
Excuse me? I get asked this question all the time.
Really?
These are just ones that were, you know, submitted by, you know, I hear it all the time, but these were actually written down. What are your tips for taking care of a sick dude? And actually, why do guys act so fragile, for lack of a kinder phrase, when they're sick?
The man cold.
That's the first question.
Okay.
All right.
I've got some answers, but go ahead.
No. Oh, you already have answers. Well, smarty. Yeah. Okay.
Since I take my vitamin C, I'll tell you.
All right. Number 2. My husband is overweight. And I'm sorry I hear this so much. My husband is overweight and getting more overweight by the day. It's not that he eats at all.
By the day.
We can't laugh.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. She's really... She does sound pretty vigilant.
We're measuring here, yes.
It's not that he... You're going to make me laugh just like you.
Sorry.
Okay, get serious.
I am.
It's not that he eats so terrible or terribly much, though he could do better and so could I. Okay. It's that he doesn't work out. Ever. She emphasizes the ever. I'm scared of the future and what health or medical issues will affect him and us. And I've begged him to get a gym membership or something, which he agrees is a good idea. But in all these years, she doesn't tell me how many, these years, he's never actually done it. So he always agrees with her. That's a good idea, never really does it. How can I motivate him to get into shape? That's a second question.
Okay.
Now, here's a third question. The totally different person.
Thanks for clarifying that. Because this family's got cold and exercise
and
issues.
Obesity. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Number three, I'm feeling resentful that now I have to take care of my husband because he didn't take care of himself, although I begged him to for years. He's pretty much ignored his doctor too. I know he's in pain and I should treat him with compassion, but how can I when I'm so mad? That's question three.
Okay.
Do you see how they're all connected?
Yeah, we're starting off with some real easy stuff, season three.
Here's question number four. Now, we're going to divide it up between two episodes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Feel better.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling slimmer now, actually.
And number four, my husband, now this is serious, most serious of all the questions. My husband has long-term health issues. How do I show respect while believing we can make the most of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're all related to a woman's
expectations,
worries, concerns.
Sure.
About her husband's health.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You bet.
And so I do. I get complaints like this all the time. And they're usually related to husbands not taking care of themselves to the satisfaction
in the eyes of the wife.
That's
right.
Asking me about it. And, you know, he might have a hard time swallowing his wife's advice, right? But she has a hard time swallowing a certain reality. Okay, here's the reality. And everybody, if you're taking notes, this is a good thing to take notes because it's a very handy reference. Number one, reality. It's person's A choice whether to solicit input. Okay?
It's person's A?
Yes. So if you have person A and B.
Okay.
So person A, it's their choice whether to ask for it or not. Right. And then here's reality number two. Person B's choice is whether to provide it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. I'll give you my advice.
Yeah, that's right. Want some advice? Bend over. I'll give you some advice.
Number three is it's person's A. I keep saying person's.
Yeah, you got your possessives in the wrong place there.
It's person A's choice whether to use the advice.
Yes, right. Accept it.
Right? And then here's the hard reality. Steps one and three are A's business. Entirely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only step the B has in here is giving the advice if it's solicited.
Well, you've talked about this in the past. You have a YouTube video about criticism.
Yeah.
And the idea of constructive criticism is kind of a misunderstood thing because a lot of people, let me give you a little constructive criticism, honey.
And there really is no such thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You're saying it has to be requested.
Yeah.
So is this the same kind of thing?
It's something to keep in mind as we go forward talking about this today.
Make sure to ask or not.
I'm just trying to let concerned wives like this know right from the top that there's only so much you can do.
Right.
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 Person A really holds the reins in your person B, but what you can do
then
is limited to being person B.
Yeah, and for our purposes, yes, person A is the guy and person B is the gal.
Yes,
here
but it goes
marriage,
both ways and it applies to every relationship.
It can, that's exactly right. But in this example, I think I got a lot going on in my head, but you go ahead.
Okay, follow my lead. I bet you'll find a way to insert all the things you're thinking about. Now, we happen to be experts ourselves. In this category.
Which one? Who's A and who's B, first of all?
Yes, we are an A and a B. That's right. And sometimes I'm A and you're B, right? Where one of us is sick and we've learned through the years how to handle it. We've also dealt with long-term health issues. Our weight has fluctuated. Your turn, my turn.
Not sure that we've noticed it on a daily basis, but
By the day. But anyway,
yes, true.
We're just
exactly
people,
right.
And we've experienced all of this. I've had many of these same kind of feelings and reactions myself. So we'll share some of our experience with you as we go along. Here's one of these other realities, little disclaimers we'll use right at the top. It is a fact of life, wives, wife, life, wife, It's a fact of life,
wife,
that you as a wife and a mother are often left picking up the pieces.
Or the clothes, or the trash, or
exactly.
The...
Exactly. Everything. It's like in the job description, right?
Keeper of the stuff.
The keeper of the stuff, right. The loved ones in our lives, and that isn't just picking up socks or homework or whatever. It's the occasional repercussions of
choices.
Our loved ones' choices.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing it every day, all day, it feels like. You know, my daughter chose to have children and...
Bring them over.
Bring over those little repercussions. I'm happy to babysit, you know.
Ew. You know, my grandmother used to call my father something, but I'm just thinking, you little repercussion. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll start using that.
And in her defense, it was occasional.
Yeah, true.
Not day.
No,
by
not
day.
By day. Not by day.
So, you know, I when I'm speaking of kids, I'm thinking it's a lot easier to take care of sick kids than it is a sick man most of the time.
No, yeah, I think... the whole idea of, you know, the man cold and everything is
one said man cold. You're the only one who said man cold. None of these questions said anything about a man cold.
Well, you know, that's the whole
okay
thing about, you know, you said being...
Well, I don't want to make fun of men, but it's true that I'm not just speaking about my experience with you. I know this in general. I have sons, and I have fathers and brothers, and I have lots of students with husbands, sons, and fathers and brothers. And so I know that generally speaking, you know, you can have, it's just really challenging for a woman to...
have to take care of a guy who's stuck in bed.
I don't know if it's even taking care of, just sort of the whole gamut of dealing with. In a positive way, a man who might be a little, you know, temporarily under the weather, or, you know, from sickness to health is a big spectrum.
So I think
so
it's...
So all the way to, like, the fourth question, we have some real permanent disability, it sounds like.
Affect your mortality as opposed to...
Yeah, and all along the way, it's smaller. A challenge. And maybe it isn't just men, it's just two people.
And I think a lot of it, in both directions, has to do with expectations.
Yes.
Right? And so if I'm a guy and I'm down because I'm cold, I'm frustrated because I expect to be able to work through that. I can work through anything. Okay. And then I think on the other side, it's the caregiver, in this case, the wife, is like, you know, you big baby, come on, you know, you're not so, you're tougher than this type thing. I don't know. You think so?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's keep analyzing this. Okay. I think you're onto something.
I hope so.
But when I hear the most complaints from women is when they feel like their husband's health in the moment, whether it is that temporary thing or that permanent thing or whatever, is a result of bad choices that she warned him about.
Okay, See, I told you so.
And here he is, right? Like, I might actually have that attitude if you come home with COVID after...
After being on an airplane.
Wear a mask on an airplane. And you're like, no one's wearing a mask. Yeah. So you can see how that could cause some sniffles in a marriage. All right. So today we're only going to deal with the first two questions.
Okay.
Not next time. And I won't promise a date, but I think about 2 weeks from now, we'll do number 3 and 4. So question 1, what are your tips for taking care of a sick dude? And actually, why do guys act so fragile?
Okay.
Why do they, for lack of a kinder phrase, I like she says that, when they're sick? So here's what I'm thinking. I had boys and girls, 2 of each as a mother. And when those boys were little, when they got sick, they were just like their sisters. Mm-hmm. They were cuddly. They were adorably pathetic. You know, they're just so cute. They just want mom. And so
I've been accused of that. You just are so adorably pathetic.
I don't know when that all changes, but it becomes sort of bewildering, I know, to me and to other women, that how is it these, you know, a big, strong man, like I see in my sons or my sons-in-law or my husband, this big, strong, you know, how can he be so crippled?
Yeah.
By just a common cold. So I did a little research.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And so here are some of the reasons why that might be so. It's not true of all men.
Well, I'll be the judge of these reasons.
Oh, so okay. You be the judge for all men.
Come. Thank you. I'll see if I can carry that weight. I think I felt day by day I'm feeling heavier now. Throw that on me.
Okay, number one.
Just call me Dale Atlas Zabriskie. I've got it. I got it.
Okay. All right, you are now representing.
I'm ready.
Your fellow man. Okay, so here's the first reason that I tracked down. Practices, meaning the way, like you not wanting to wear a mask necessarily on a plane or whatever. And studies show that men are less likely to wash their hands regularly.
Mm-hmm, I
know
that.
That's not true of you.
No, I'm very fastidious traveling.
Like and that. At least in the United States, men are less likely than their wives or women in general to see their doctors regularly.
Mm-hmm,
that's also not true of you. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, isn't that interesting?
So, I'm struggling to represent all men here. Who's two
that's
for two.
Not true.
Yeah. And you're not that way.
I'm sure many of our listeners will go, oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, so practices can have something to do with it. Another reason is their personality.
Sure.
You know, Robert L. Wergen, MD, chair of American Academy of Family Physicians Board of Directors. Right, so lots of experience. He says, I certainly have a group of patients he's talking about men, that are very in tune with their bodies and have lots of concerns about their health. So when they have a cold, they magnify it to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what he's saying is patients like that tend to think that their symptoms mean something worse
is
going on. And it could probably just a minor cold, but they think it's pneumonia.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just one type of personality. Mm-hmm. So it could be he's not washing his hands. Or goofy, that he's blowing it all out of proportion. Okay. Now, this is the third reason. And I don't know what you think about this, but men need to feel capable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we talk in Wife Savers about the fear of failure, and they just don't want to go there, that area of failure, but they get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They have to either pretend that it's not bothering
them. Right. I got it. Yeah.
If, you know, cold. Or they have to pretend it's way, or tell themselves it's way bigger than it actually is to them. You know what I'm saying?
Because
like, she has a hard time being sympathetic when he's, you know, just wiped out and wants to be taken care of and served. When it's the same cold she probably gave to him that she had a week ago, and she was taking care of the kids in the house and going to work and everything, you know. So what do you think?
Well, there's two things come to mind. Back to the previous thing about the MD that says, you know, guys don't take care of themselves. They don't really go to the doctor as much. You're saying about that?
Those were studies.
Yeah. I think there's a factor there that if I don't go to the doctor and I don't really know what's going on with me, or I want to ignore, or I don't want to know. Don't tell me, you know, and I want to find out something.
Then your imagination makes it.
Yeah. Work. If I get sick, then, oh no, it could be, this is it. This is what I've been, you know, concerned about my whole life. You know, I've got cancer. You know, I've got, call the kids.
I can't
get
rid of this cough.
Bring them around me. You know, I've got hours to live. And so I think without the knowledge and without the understanding of physiology and you know how things work and everything.
We were talking that goes to personality because we were talking about the guys who are so concerned about their body and so focused on their body, and they go to the doctor for every little thing that they think it could be something worse. But so could the guy who never goes to the
doesn't have any idea,
right? Okay,
yeah. So, so the other thing, you know, it's a big deal. I make a blow up. The big deal, like moaning and groaning, and oh, I can't do this, and I can't do that. I know part of me,
my head.
You get tired of hearing that.
Yes, you get tired of hearing
it.
Right.
So I think it is a personality thing, but I think it's also kind of this little plea for, you know, tell me it's okay, and you know, it's kind of this the gruff, you know, man, you know, stereotype. I got it. You know, comes down to the little cuddly, like you said, when they were kids again.
Like a little boy again, like just wants to be mama. That.
Yeah. Type. Come here, mama.
Bring me my,
you know,
whatever.
I think it is.
So, I need my blankie.
But yeah, it's like, I'm going to die. So, you know, type thing. But
no, that's interesting.
But so I think it's, if you don't understand what's going on inside you and you're not aware, then the imagination can go crazy. But then I think it's this kind of
stories.
A desire, making up stories, as I often say, it's this desire to get attention and, you know, take care of me because I'm going all the time. And, you know,
I have another idea. Could it be that, you know, if we know that women's brains are, the white matter in the brain is like a piece of graph paper, you know,
right.
It can go many directions.
Yeah.
Whereas men spend a significant more portion of their time and brain power in the gray matter of the brain, it's far more focal. So that's why they so laser focus in on one task at a time, as opposed to the multitasking woman at work or at home.
So you're saying that if I've got a head cold and it's just driving me crazy, that's all I'm going to think about.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to focus on.
Focus on getting over this.
Right.
Get through this.
But
get rid of this.
I'm so focused on it that I get upset by it and I start complaining about it. And
a woman doesn't have that luxury. Her brain's still going in 100 directions.
Oh, he's thinking about and just dealing with it.
Now, I want to clarify this. This is only Ramona's theory, but it makes sense to me. Yeah, that they would... generally speaking,
no, I think
it's husbands.
It's very clear that, you know, I see your ability to manage so many different things at one time and to just keep going. And, you know, for me, I feel like I just keep going as hard as I possibly can until I, you know, can't anymore and I collapse. And so in my mind, it's like, well, I've gone through all this. I've been feeling bad, but I'm still going. So if I'm going to sit down and collapse, it must be pretty bad. Right? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, terrible.
And I hate that. You know what else I hate? I hate it when I'm really sick with the cough and the sniffles and whatever. And in these days, we can throw in stuff like COVID and RSV and the flu or anything like that.
M-O-U-S-E.
And even though I'm sick, you insist on kissing me. You have a very bad history of this. And then...
And you hate that.
I hate it because...
You really hate that.
I do, because just as I'm getting well,
I get sick. Yeah, that's right. Now, the whole concept is...
Don't kiss me.
Come here, baby. I'm just going to suck that right out of you. Just give it to me. Give it on me. Just take it on me. I'll take it on.
Oh, yeah, I see.
That's the theory.
I see. Yeah. Okay. And that's why I got better, maybe.
Exactly.
All right. So I have some more lighthearted... suggestions.
I'm glad to hear that. Let's do some of that.
So, this is how to take care of your grump.
Your grump dude. Your dude grump.
Yeah, the questioner said dude, right? This is how to take care of, what did she call him? The fragile? This is how to take care of your fragile grump. All right. Number one, take his temperature. He loves quantifying.
101.4.
It feels better.
Yeah.
Knowing is a number.
Okay. He's a radio station.
Number 101.4. Two, get and give him the meds that he likes.
Oh.
Grape flavored, whatever.
Oh. Yeah, cherry. Love that stuff. There is something out there that
we're just talking about a little, you know, even COVID's almost gotten to this point these days. Number three.
Make it as palatable as possible. Yes.
Here's my third suggestion. Give him his favorite food.
Yeah. So I have been, ever since I had open heart surgery, I've been holding over you at the end of the surgery, and I left the hospital after a week plus.
Yes.
What was the thing they told you that I could do?
That you could eat anything you wanted.
So
and
clarify,
I couldn't believe
anything,
that.
Anything. Okay.
Like, you mean except a steak, right?
Yeah. No.
You mean except anything. A milkshake, right?
That's right.
You're like, anything.
You know, but it's a misnomer, because when you're that bad, when you're coming out of that, you don't want to eat anything. So it's kind of like, you know, well, you missed your chance.
Anything.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
And then you missed your chance.
And here's number four. Distract him. Remember, he's so focused on it. See if you can pull his mind away with a movie night or time in bed.
You want to get close to him? That close to him while he's sick?
She's already had it.
Oh, assuming that she's the one that, yes, right. Distracting him is good. Had the vaccination already.
And the fifth, remember, these are more lighthearted. I'm sorry, but number five is just sympathize.
That's the problem.
As much as you can.
There's no sympathy in those questions whatsoever.
No, there isn't. No. You're right.
They're asking for what they're really saying. Yeah, that's right. Would you? Here's his phone number. You know, would you call him and tell him? By golly,
it's just a cold. Hi. This is Ramona. Yes, I'm your wife's marriage mentor. I understand you're not feeling well. Well, suck it up, buddy.
Well, here are your ideas.
Just sympathize.
Sympathize.
As much as you can.
That's right.
All right. Ready? That's,
I think that'll go a long way.
Do you?
Yeah. Because the whole thing about the man cold, you know, is this negativity around it.
Yeah. Like, oh, so, honey, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't feel good.
Can't wait. You'll feel better.
Yeah. You'll get over in a couple of days. In the meantime.
Shut up.
No. Can I get you your great cough med? Yes. Okay. Question number two.
No, but number four would be good.
Oh, yeah. You like that distracting him stuff. Okay. That was question one. Right. And I don't know if it helped anyone except for them maybe to not take it quite so seriously.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Question two.
We're certainly
two.
Not taking it that seriously.
Well, it's the least serious of the four questions, so.
Okay.
Number two was about motivating him to work out, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so my husband's overweight, getting more overweight
by the day.
Yeah. Right. And it's not that he eats so terrible, it's just that he doesn't work out. And she's begged him to for years. Okay, so never done anything. This week, I know it seems totally unrelated, but I watched the Ken Burns documentary series on the Roosevelts.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about this just an hour ago before we got started, I just started thinking of all these wonderful quotes from Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. Roosevelt. A quotable person.
And the thing that he was known for, you know, lots of famous quotes. But his most famous quote is about get action.
He said,
get action, seize the moment. Man was never intended to become an oyster.
Oyster. Covered up in a shell. So I had some oysters the other night.
This is what this wife is looking for. A little action, some
activity.
Fitness, activity from her husband. All right. So I do have some suggestions. And my first one, I'm going to title, Who Says What's Fitness?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the medical industry keeps changing, medical society.
It's so true. Because how do you define exercise, right? Mm-hmm. If her idea, as a wife, your idea is some kind of fitness regimen, right? And that works for some people, you know, that day in, day out kind of sticking to an exact regimen. But for other people, it's not so fun. It's repetitive. It's painful. Mm-hmm. It's boring.
Mm-hmm.
So before we decided working out was such a thing, it was so important, people stayed healthy by being active. Just they were
part of their life, their job, their livelihood.
Right. Exactly.
We went from an agricultural society to an industrial society.
And today, you know, lots of people are work outdoors, or they're walking, or they're biking, or they're lifting heavy things, or they're dancing, or they're playing game sports with friends or whatever.
Lifting while they are dancing, lifting heavy things while they dance.
So let's just be careful about who says what's fitness, you know, and you're right. For our age, we're in our 60s. I've been reading articles about just walking,
movement.
The thing. You don't have to do aerobics. And they're saying, oh, this is really going to add to the years of your life.
Jane Fonda VHS tapes away. You don't need them. She does have them, by the way.
No, not anymore. But for years, she was my go-to.
What was that other one? The Firm.
The Firm.
Yeah, those VHS tapes.
Yes, I'm a home exerciser. All right. So think about this. Is there anything he could add to his life that's fun? And by the way, active.
Yes, yes. Actively fun.
Fun, but...
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, did this guy start out at 120 and now he's 130?
Exactly, but because who says what's fitness?
That's right, right, mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. And it is no question. A thing that I've been dealing with a lot, too, is... As you age, it's not only harder to move,
yeah,
it's harder to move at the same pace that you used to move at. I've noticed this as I've been now traveling more and in airports. Everybody is passing me when I used to pass everybody else. And I kind of say, well, this is my pace now. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to, accept it.
Maybe she should add that into the equation a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And especially if there is obesity, as far as, mm-hmm, clinically, and someone's very large.
Yeah.
It's really hard to move.
To want to move.
Yeah. And so any little win should be celebrated.
Okay.
I think.
I like that.
Right. And right, not have an expectation of what she thinks activity is,
yes,
or a goal is, uh-huh, or,
to kind of tune into, what's activity.
And celebrate the little wins, basically.
Actually, anything that is movement or activity or that has some other point to it, like volunteering or cleaning out the backyard
or a sport even or something that's
and
not
that
just
exercise is just sort of a consequence right, the byproduct. Is there any way that he can add something like that to his life or that you can do together, right? Can instead of expecting him to get up and do his 5 a.m. fitness regimen,
whatever it is,
can you do together? Can you go biking or dancing or walking or even just running errands? We were talking about that the other day, where we were just walking through the store or something.
Right.
Obviously, doing something with a sports league, that's really high.
Yeah, here's what you do. When you go shopping and you have a list, do it in the worst order you possibly can in the store. Make sure you're going corner to corner of the store.
Well, you were very proud to show me how many steps you had yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we parked quite a ways away from the stores, I recall.
But even navigating through the store, don't go... Just then go, okay, I'm going to go over to that corner and get the other
thing.
It all counts. Yeah, add the step. Make it as inefficient as you possibly can so that you're moving as much as you can.
Not usually what I'm thinking when I'm going grocery.
No, exactly.
So that's great. I love that suggestion. Who says what's fitness? Here's my next one. Who says what's fun?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So let's think more. Let's emphasize that fun part of it. What did he like doing when he was a kid?
Right.
Or that'd be a fun conversation.
When they married. I mean, we don't know how many years have gone by here, but
What did he like when he was younger that maybe he loved tennis and now he's going to do pickleball?
Now you watch tennis. That's the. you're right. And that's
$40 for a pickleball.
That's
set.
Why pickleball is so popular in the retirement communities.
So we're having a conversation, say, and I'm just saying, hey, tell me when you were a kid, what did you like to do? I mean, mm-hmm, you've said before that you really like blah, blah. And you said, I've been thinking about that. Could you want to pick that up again? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you reframe it so that you say it'd be so good for your mental health. This is how true of you. You get out and go for a walk outdoors. You come home a whole different person.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Right. So you could reframe it that it'll help him be more productive at work, or it'll help him when he gets home from work and he's all uptight or something. If he just gets out there and shoots hoops for a little bit or something, then he will be better with the kids that night.
Yeah,
so you give him the other benefits instead of focusing on you're fat, you need to exercise.
The other thing that I've learned too is that, especially after COVID was really hard for me. I realized I went from flying somewhere every week and traveling to nothing overnight, right? I came home, they sent everybody home.
We all took a hit with
and that
COVID.
Was it. And not only, my weight didn't dramatically change, but my body tended to change. It just composition, shape and everything. And so what I found is when I go out, I'm going to go for a walk or something, or I'm going to the airport, the first 5 minutes of walking are super painful.
Oh.
to the point where I'm just saying, I can't do this. I can't make it. Please. I've got to stop. Where's the cart? I'll pay the $10 to the lady. You know, I can't do this.
Please tell me what happens. It gets better.
That is the whole point. You get past that, the body going, you know, creak just, and creak.
I'm thinking of the Tin Man Wizard of Oz.
It's a lot like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really true. And orthopedic doctors, they'll tell you that your joints get lubricated the more you use them.
Okay.
They actually draw moisture and lubricating fluids to them when they move. So like here where we live, I go walk, I'll go up to the
main street,
to the main street out there. Mm-hmm. That little jog, which is what, 0.2 miles or mm-hmm. something like that, is almost kill me. I'm just like, I have to turn around. I can't do it. But I have learned that if I just keep going, the pain goes away.
Wow.
And then I can enjoy however long I want to go. You know, I used to do 3-4 miles, whatever the number is.
So, wife, if you're listening, maybe you could cue up the podcast right to that point. And you say, listen to what Dale said.
And
that's his complaint.
If you are carrying a lot of weight and you haven't moved a lot, it's going to be hard. You're going to be out of breath. But if you just commit and say, okay, I see that telephone pole there, I'm going to make it to that telephone pole. And then you look ahead and you go, hey, there's another telephone pole over there. I'm going to get to that telephone pole.
And before you know it,
you've gotten 20 telephone
poles. You're Rocky Balboa going up the steps.
Well, yeah, I see these people doing marathons and everything, and I'm just like, I get a mailbox in a driveway, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. So true. But it is. Break it into pieces.
Okay, you're reminding me of Teddy Roosevelt again. He said, old age is like everything else. To make a success of it, you've got to start young.
Yeah. That's right. Teddy Roosevelt and Yogi Berra would have loved each other. You know,
Yogi. Teddy and Yogi. Cute. All right.
Hey, boo-boo.
So far, we have who says what's fitness and who says what's fun.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Here's the next one. Okay. Who moved the furniture?
Who moved the furniture?
Yeah, ooh. And what if I mean
like that who moved is, my cheese?
Plan B, if he hasn't gotten out there yet and he's not
doing rearrange the front room?
You guessed it! How did you guess it?
Oh, every guy's dream. Yeah, no, can I, honey?
No, I'm not. You rearrange the space in your... Now, this is sort of an extreme suggestion, but you could rearrange your fridge and your pantry so it's not quite so easy. Oh. And you can say, okay, here's his rut. He sits here, he gets up and he gets this food, he goes back or whatever.
Some trigger
food. But he gets
up,
it's not there. Where is it?
What, the chair? He comes back.
This is good. You're
sorry, honey, you just can't sit down for the next 20 minutes.
No, oh. He gets up to go get the potato chips.
You. And he can't find the potato chips.
While he's looking and hunting for potato chips, which burns calories, you've moved the chair. Seriously. No, this is a serious expert thing is, you know, just... I'm sorry, I rearranged the pantry today or whatever. The fridge, and it just takes a little extra. It does a little snap.
Yeah, it breaks the chain there.
A little snap in the brain.
Yeah, it's true.
Right,
it's true.
Right. So if food isn't in the expected place, you can shop differently too. You don't have to have those certain foods that are not helpful. And, you know, it's kind of like a chess game where your opponent, wife, is not your husband, but just the sedentary lifestyle that you want to kind of snap him out of a little bit, right? And another thing is to serve smaller portions. Yeah. Don't give if you create too much to eat at a meal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it's still sitting there. It's tempting.
And a lot of folks, you know, I know we're a little at the end of this generation, but it was like, clean your plate. You know, there are starving people in blank. You have to eat all your food.
All the time. Right, starving people.
But still, be careful. It can't all be rice cakes and kale, okay?
I said smaller portions.
No, I agree with that.
As well, it's the nutritional aspect, of course. But you just turn up your nose when I hand you those little dishes of ice cream.
Well, ice cream like in proportion soup. And, you know, green beans in proportions are two different things. So.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay. So here's another Teddy for you. Roosevelt.
Thank you for clarifying that. This is a podcast, by the way, not a visual thing. We'll
Some
do that later.
Men, this is really, you have to think about this one. Some men can live up to their loftiest ideals without ever going higher than the basement. You're looking at me like, I'm not sure I know what that means.
No, I...
All I'm saying is while you're rearranging the pantry, wife, you can rearrange your expectations of him, all right? You don't need an Arnold Schwarzenegger in the house.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Right? So just rearrange your expectations a little
well,
bit,
that's
right?
Because I said that early on.
He could, he doesn't have to be what your lofty ideal is. Does that make sense?
Well, that's the thing.
As much as what's his dream? What is
I think that,
goal?
You know, for the question we had, that really is that what is this going to lead to? Is this going to lead to diabetes and issues, health issues?
Which we're going to get into in our next episode.
Okay. But that, I mean, so I'm just saying the expectations, you know, there's a lot of the telling yourself the stories of where is this going to go? And you can't scare somebody into... You know, changing.
That's
this
not
way.
The best motivation.
But the what person's expectation? That's I think that's kind of the theme through what we've talked about here in this episode is on from both partners, right? From each partner is what are your expectations, right?
True. Let's. Yeah. I want to wrap that idea up with a bow in a minute.
Okay.
Because the last suggestion I'm calling "Who's Got Fortitude."
That's what it takes.
And you know, I looked up the definition of fortitude. It's strength of mind, courage in the face of pain. So you talked about the pain that you feel just in the first 5 minutes in that walk across the airport or up the hill or whatever. And fortitude is like, I'm just going to get through this. And so we're doing this. It seems more silly, but it's pretty serious. Change the way you shop. Change the way you serve food. Change the placement of the food in the house so that the eye level shelf isn't all the chocolate.
Well, you know, if you go down the cereal aisle, all the fruity sugar cereal is about 2 feet off the ground.
Exactly. And you can fix that in your house. Okay. But there's a reverse angle here, and that's motivation. We're trying to think all these ways to motivate him. Mm-hmm. Like you said, fear doesn't work or whatever. But some women or people would argue that that's really irrelevant in the face of life-sustaining measures. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to go to work, whether I feel like it or not, right? Whether
Whatever
I want to or not, you just go. And so that's something to be considered. Like, exercise and activity is just something you do because you have to sustain life. And if that's, you know, it's the Nike. Just
go. Do it.
And maybe it's you that's going to do that. You just go to the gym and see if he doesn't get interested and follow along. Together would be the best.
Sure.
To just go and do it like, okay, this isn't going to be pleasant or fun, but we're going to do it.
Well, anything that's difficult, anything to that requires fortitude.
Yes, fortitude.
Is a mental game. It's a mental game. And everyone will tell you whether they've succeeded at professional sports or they've climbed Mount Everest or they've, and so what is your Mount Everest in your life, right? And maybe this is dealing with the exercise and food and whatever. It could be very serious stuff.
Yes, right.
It has to be a mental, I'm just going to do it. I am just going to go forward somehow or another. Like you say, I have to go to work.
Right.
There's a motivation there, and that is called a paycheck.
Right.
And all these things. So what is it that we can find in our lives that helps us break that mental, you know?
I do think, personally.
Block.
That a mental block, yeah. That it, the motivation factor and creativity comes in and just kind of getting started, taking the first steps, as opposed to once you finally have this sort of outlet that you found for activity, whether it's an exercise regime or whether it's fun playtime or whatever, it starts to feed on itself so that you want it.
Yeah.
You have to get to that point where you actually
But you have to be very patient.
To get to that point.
Very patient.
Yeah.
And celebrate the little wins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, okay, And I learned that after heart surgery when I had my first therapy session,
physical therapy?
Yeah, no, it was therapy, but it was organized. It was very controlled. It wasn't just go do this. They brought me in, they hooked me up, they put me on the treadmill. They said, can you do 5 minutes?
And you're talking about a stress test?
No. It was after surgery. It was the very first beginning of the organized physical therapy to get your heart back and going.
Right.
So, but they said, can you do 5 minutes on the treadmill? And we're talking a flat treadmill at like 0.5 miles an hour. Okay.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, heck yeah. I'll do it. Crank that sucker up. Let's go. Right. They go, no. We'll just do 5 minutes. So I remember walking for 5 minutes just like this.
Oh.
Just this super slow 5 minutes.
The tortoise.
And I got done and you were with me. I don't know if you remember it. And took me home.
Uh-huh. And you?
I slept for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I just, that was my day. Yeah. And, you know, that's a major, major life event. But it's true. I learned that little bit was the first step for me.
There you go.
And then pretty soon I'm going out 3 or 4 miles mm-hmm. in a day mm-hmm. and loving it. Mm-hmm. Right?
So,
but it took quite a while.
So you got to remember, you're speaking right now as though you were speaking to this inactive husband. But we have to remember it's the wife that's probably listening right now.
Sure.
How does she create that vision for him and that motive? And I think the sort of heart-to-heart and the fun and keeping it light.
Celebrating the little things.
Sympathetic and everything that you can have these conversations, maybe multiple ones.
Yeah, because I'll just add one little thing. If the guy decides, okay, I'm going to go get on the treadmill, whatever it is, it has to be accepted and celebrated, and it can't be, oh, you didn't do enough,
right? Oh, you were only on for 15 minutes?
Whatever, right, or whatever her expectation is.
You only did it once this week?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's going to lead to, the better outcome.
Okay, so we did who's to say what fitness is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's fitness? And
whose fitness is it anyway?
And, and who says what's fun? Mm-hmm. Anyway, and who moved the furniture and who has fortitude? So hopefully you can kind of use those little hooks to
remember
some of that.
Yes, I do.
So here's our summary, my summary. You can amen it if you want.
All right, I'm ready.
I think that the best advice I can give a wife that's worried about this is to tell him that you've got his back and that you will make space for him to pursue anything, any endeavor that might help him, right, to regain his health. And this is an opportunity if he's moaning or groaning about not feeling good or whatever.
Maybe he's not, though, too.
Her
perception, right?
Yeah, that's true. But he probably makes it. And that's your time to jump in and say, listen, honey, if you want to do something to feel better, I've got your back. I will do whatever I need to help you make space for that, right? But here's the really important point. If he doesn't want to discuss it, we're back to person A and person B. If he doesn't want to discuss it, just, I'm really sorry, ladies, but just drop it. Just leave the topic alone and he'll get there when he's ready.
Yeah, it'll come back. You'll have another opportunity.
Because here's the bottom line. We all of us have two options in this world in dealing with other people, including our beloveds, right? And I love, this is a quote from Dear Carolyn in the
Washington Post,
her column. She says, trust loved ones to live a rewarding life on their terms and enjoy every minute with them, even if their terms mean it's not as long as we'd like.
Mm.
Or fret our way through whatever time we have left. Wow.
Yeah, you think about
that
how that would be profound. How you wrap up a relationship, right?
Wouldn't you rather have been having a rewarding life together, right, than arguing and being disgusted and right. So this is true of all things wife savers and marriage. It's a constant balancing act between partnership and otherness. But to get to partnership, you have to, paradoxically, accept and even get comfortable with radical otherness.
Right? Radical otherness.
Not getting to that. That idea of we are completely different people.
Right, right.
Radical otherness. If we can't get to that, that is the number one source of arguing, of unhappiness, of contention.
Why can't you be like
marriage,
me? Or
right?
This way.
Right? And every issue that I deal with in helping women, every issue virtually comes back to that. That idea of not accepting or being comfortable with the idea of otherness, including differences in our bodies or our attitude toward or our treatment of our own bodies.
Join us next time for part two, when we'll discuss dealing with the long-term health and medical issues in your marriage. In the meantime, follow or subscribe to the Wife Savers podcast and our YouTube channel, Wife Savers by Ramona. To contact Ramona for more personal mentoring resources, check out wifesavers.org.
Home is with you wherever that may be.